Our reading this morning is from Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7, and Luke 3, verses 15 through 17, and 21 to 22. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Rajan. Hey, everybody. I am a sucker for a great story, and especially for a really good sentence. So I'm going to throw out some really good first sentences to really great stories, and you tell me where they're from. You tell me what story it is, all right? It'll be a little, an immediate all play. First one's easy. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Woo! I mean, episode 7, people. I've seen it thrice. Indeed, I have. What are some themes from Star Wars? What are some general themes? Every story has some great enduring themes. Conflict. Good and bad. Good triumphs. Might. Oh, light. Maybe might too, right, Steve? Light. Father, son. Interesting. Yes, Heidi. There is a hero. Known gifts. Is that what you said? Unknown gifts. Some unexpected gifts. A villain. Every good story has all those things. All right, so here's another story. First sentence, Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were perfectly normal. Thank you very much. The story is? Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, year 1. What are some themes from Harry Potter? Coming of age. Friendship. Magic. Temptation, learning who you are. Loss. Fear.
Discipleship.
See? Steve is seeing it. He's seeing it. Some of you guys are like, we're talking about Harry Potter at church. You can't say discipleship. Oh my goodness. All right, let's go to a different one. First line. 3 rings for the elven kings under the sky, 7 for the dwarf lords in their halls of stone. What's the story? Oh my, Lord of the Rings. I read this trilogy about every year. I'm due again, and I absolutely love it. What are some themes from Lord of the Rings, you hobbit nerds?
Short people.
That's why I love the story, gang. So I love the story. I would be a giant in Hobbiton. Journey.
Friendship.
Keep going.
Faith.
Perseverance. Creativity. Mission. Heroes. Villains. Temptation.
Worship.
It's all in there. Every great story has all of those ingredients. And they're all about an unlikely hero being on a journey where they come against unmistakable evil and odds that are stacked against them. And somehow, some way, they find a way through. And it's usually for the benefit of many, many people. And that is why there is a certain story. In the vast estate of the Earl of Grantham, there lived a spoiled brat named Mary Crawley. We're all wondering if she'll ever take the hero's journey. Oh, Downton Abbey. I'll be watching it tonight. So, one of the great sadnesses, actually, in our day and age, is that we've been told that the Bible is an instruction manual for life. That's what it is. When do you open up an instruction manual? George, when do you open up an instruction manual?
Never!
Thank you. But if you were to, when would it be?
When I can't figure it out on my own.
Right, when I can't figure it out on my own. And instruction manuals are to figure things out, right? Instruction manuals are great. We have a big file of them up in this cabinet up above the laundry in our house. And I never look at them. The Bible is not an instruction manual for life. It is a story filled with villains and heroes and journeys and discipleship and light and uncertainty and a God who created all of it and was intimately involved in all of it. That is the story of God. And when we treat it like a wooden document, that's the most read and unread piece of literature in all of history, then we miss out on the great adventure of the story, which is really a hero's journey. So the story of God is told in the church calendar year after year in chapters. Chapter one is Advent, which we just went through. We might entitle Advent, Waiting in the Dark. And one of the great lines of poetry from the scriptures, from the prophet, is the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Wouldn't that be a great first line to a book? And it's like, yes, you'd be drawn right into that. And then chapter two is Christmastide. The title for Christmastide, the 12 days of Christmas, might be celebrating the gift of God with us. I love this first line of the gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. What a great first line, right? Who is this Word? And why was he in the beginning? And was he really with God? How would we know, right? But instead, we read it like, you know, a scientist. Well, in the beginning, the Word, and was with God, and okay, I've heard that before. Instead of reading it like a powerful journey that starts with uncertainty. And today we turn the page, as Steve Haynes said, to chapter 3, which is Epiphany. And we might title Epiphany, Enlightened in the Seeing. Enlightened in the Seeing. Epiphany, the Greek word is phanein, which means to cause to appear or to bring to light. All play question. All plays at Genesis are designed to hear the voice of the chorus instead of just the solo. When would you need something to suddenly appear? If you were in trouble, in the dark, maybe lost, maybe you've lost the plot, maybe there's a relationship in your life that's gone totally south and you're absolutely off track. You would need to have an epiphany to remember what life is all about, wouldn't you? You would need to have something appear that helps you get back on the journey that you were created to be on. So epiphany is a season of enlightenment. We focus our attention on the life of Jesus, watching him heal, listening to him teach, and coming to a greater and greater understanding of who Jesus is. During epiphany, we are enlightened in the seeing. And this is the beginning of a great story. And great stories carry consistent themes throughout. And if you can see the connections, you can see much more of the story. So let's read a little bit about epiphany from Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Question. What are we talking about? Life. Yeah, we're talking about life. Like last week, there was probably a time where you felt like the waters were rising up above your eyes and you were drowning and you didn't know what to do. Something in your life went herky-jerky and you were lost. Maybe some of you are going through a fire right now. So this is not metaphor only, you know, like when you're drowning or when you're going through the fire. It's not like pretty language. It's actual life. It's your journey. It's your story. You're pitted against an enemy that's way too great for you, and the heavens are watching, wondering, will you make your journey? Will you keep walking all the way to Mordor? Will you keep going all the way to the Death Star? Will you keep journeying even though it's really, really dark? So specifically in these verses, we're talking about something that's created, right? But thus says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you. We're talking about something that's created, formed, redeemed, and named. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. So we're talking about something that must go on a perilous journey, but one that will not destroy it in order to bless many. So the great story of the scriptures, Genesis 1, 1 and 2, God created and formed the earth out of nothingness. And then we read in Genesis 12, God created and formed a people to be a blessing to the world. That's when God says to Abram and Sarai, I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. God is saying, here comes the story. The world's going to be dark, and it's going to need light. I want a people to reflect who I am to the world. So you're it. Go. And so they left their native land, their family, and the plot of land that their family had lived on forever in order to go to a place that God would show them in order to be a blessing to the world. And then they ended up, not Abram and Sarai, but their children, Israel, ended up in slavery in Egypt for 400 long years. And how did they get out of Egypt? Literally, by passing through the waters. Let's go back to Isaiah 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you know the themes of Scripture, it helps you to thread the thread all the way through so we know what we're talking about when we get to Luke. God delivered those people from slavery in Egypt when they passed through the waters of the Red Sea, having been delivered from Egypt in the Exodus. This is the great story, and it's happening again when we hit Luke 3. So I'm going to read it to you again. Rajan read it to you a few minutes ago, but Luke 3, the first Sunday of Epiphany, is always about the baptism of the Christ, of Jesus. And so here it is. As the people were filled with expectations, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John the Baptist, whether or not he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I'm not the hero. I baptize with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Stop right there. What are those two ingredients that were just introduced by John? Holy Spirit, but specifically the word was fire. I will baptize you with fire. So we have water and fire. What are we talking about? Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, they will not burn you. The writer is saying, dun, 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 here we are in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Boom. I mean, the music is playing. The Darth Vader song is playing. If there was a music to accompany every time the writer wants you to know something, that would be really helpful, right? But there's no music in literature, so you have to use poetry and words. And so when you read light and fire and water, remember what you're talking about. We're talking about the big, great story of a hero that's going to be created and redeemed and named, that's going to go on a perilous journey, one that won't destroy it in order to bless many. Verse 17, his winnowing fork, Jesus' winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Here we go again. And don't automatically go to hell right now in your mind. Go toward the kind of fire that's a refiner's fire that burns away all the impurities so that all that's left is what's essential and beautiful and true about you. There is something essential and beautiful and true about you. And part of being a disciple of Jesus is submitting yourself to that fire so that the stuff that's extra gets burned away. Amen? So don't go to hell right away. Don't go to judgment right away. Don't go to Isaiah 43 is not about that. So when all the people were baptized, verse 21, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." What are we talking about? Someone has just been named. That person that's been named will go on a perilous journey where the flames will almost destroy him, where the waters will almost drown him. But at the end of the day, he will throw that ring into Mount Doom. Amen? Every great story is formed after this one, the greatest story that there ever has been. Amen? The baptism of Jesus is about something that's been formed, a man named Jesus, fully God, fully man, that's going to redeem the world, that's going to go on a perilous journey, one that won't destroy him, but one that will ultimately redeem the whole world. He'll go first, leading the way, and then the question is, will we follow along that journey? We're not the hero of the great story. Amen? Oh, I forget that. I kind of like being the hero for a while, and then I don't. But to borrow from the Lord of the Rings, because I am a complete nerd with that, we are not Frodo, we are Sam Gamgee. The faithful, loyal, sometimes stupid, but ultimately loyal person that is with Frodo the whole way and gives his life for Frodo and would give his life for Frodo because Frodo is on the mission. So in the coming weeks during Epiphany, we're going to see Jesus bringing joy to an embarrassed wedding host who has run out of wine at a wedding. Isn't that great? So one of the questions is, why did they run out of wine at this wedding? I mean, they must have had massive amounts. And I think the answer is because Jesus and his disciples crashed the wedding, and they drank all of it. So that's why Jesus provided more wine, because he felt bad. Peter, gosh, you gotta hold back sometimes. Okay, that was editorial. Extra biblical, that's called. Okay, thank you, Joe. We're going to see Jesus going back to his home synagogue and announcing his mission is to bring sight to the blind, to release the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We're going to see that happening in his home synagogue in Nazareth. He actually stood up and said that, opening up the scroll to Isaiah. Isaiah, by the way, was like Jesus's like playbook. He knew Isaiah, I think, better than most of the books. And we're then going to see Jesus almost getting killed by those same people from his hometown for saying what he said in that hometown synagogue that day. And then we're going to go back in time, weirdly, and see Jesus in the sort of prequel being presented in the temple as a baby and being prophesied over and being named Salvation. And then we're going to see Jesus being transfigured into a dazzling white figure of glory right in front of Peter, James, and John as he was casually chatting with Moses and Elijah in the first century right on the top of the Mountain of Transfiguration. So there you go. Epiphany is going to be an amazing journey for us to take as a church. As we dive into this beautiful story, it's not a wooden document. It's a living, breathing, dynamic story that we can find our own story in. And as we follow the hero Jesus, we're going to see lots and lots of places where we go through fire and we go through water, but God is with us. Amen? And on our perilous journey, we're going to see this being played out in our lives. Thus says the Lord, put your name in here. He who created you, O Steve, O Becky, O Rick, O Joe, O Shannon, O Heidi, O Steve, O Cynthia, he who formed you, O Jenny, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. Amen. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. And then it goes on to say, I will send, I will exchange countries for you. God has not forgotten us. Haynes was right. God does not say, oh yeah, I have kids. Oh my gosh. Wonder what they're up to. God is with you in the fire. God is with you in the water. So during Epiphany, we are enlightened in the seeing. We are caused to believe something that maybe we forgot or maybe we never knew. So as you go through the lectionary readings, use your imagination. What does Jesus look like? What does the water taste like of baptism? If you were there standing on the shores of the Jordan, what would you want to ask Jesus? Remember, you have been created, redeemed, and named. Maybe you want to write those three words, created, redeemed, and named, on a little post-it note. Put it in your car. Put it in your bathroom mirror. Put it on your phone so you can read it over and over again this season. You can remember that you are created, redeemed, and named, that God is with you, that as you go through the fire, you will not be burned. As you go through the waters, you will not drown because you were created, redeemed, and named. And as you read the stories of Jesus, as you see him passing through the dangerous waters and fire, as you see God being with him, what can you learn about your own dangerous waters and about the dangerous fire that you're in, about your own perilous journey? This is going to be a great season as we study this great story together. Amen? So let's move into silence. 60 seconds where the creator of the universe might be allowed to speak to you. Holy Spirit, come and speak.